the very top of Lamed Amud Aleph. Right, so we had three shitas yesterday. Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. What the status of chametz, a mixture of chametz, is on Pesach itself, and also after Pesach. So Amar Rava, Rava says Hilchasa, Halacha Lamaisa chametz bizmanoi, chametz during Pesach, bein b'mina bein shaloi b'minoi, whether it's min b'minoi or whether it's min shaloi b'minoi, either way, aser b'mashehu, it's aser even with a mashehu kirav like Rav. Meaning to say, like we explained yesterday, Rav holds that min b'minoi is not batal, and because chametz is chomer, it's chayv karis, and it's leibed b'minoi, he was gozer shaloi b'minoi atu minoi, that even shaloi b'minoi should not have bittul. Now, the way Rashi understands, this is a famous Rashi shita, Rashi holds, we know that there's a machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, if min b'minoi is batal or min b'minoi is not batal. Rashi holds, based on this gemara, and a few other gemaras in Chulin and Avodah Zarah, Rashi holds that we paskin halacha l'maisa like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why Rava says over here, halacha l'maisa is like Rav, that min b'minoi is not batal.
That's even midoraisa?
We're saying Mim B'minoi is not batal. Yeah, Lefi Rashi, yeah, that's the halacha. Mim B'minoi is not batal.
Number is
Xerah, Hathor, but that's anyway. Like, Rav himself for sure meant that. The question is if we pass him like Rav or not, right? But yeah. Most other Rishonim, however, disagree, and they say, like we all know, that Mim B'minoi is batal. And therefore, there's two mahalachim over here. One mahalach in the Rishonim is that, like I mentioned yesterday, even though b'chol ha'terakulam min b'minoi is batal, because chametz is more chomer, so midrabbanan, because of the chomer of the chametz, we say that min b'minoi is not batal. Or some Mishnah Taka want to have a different gears over here, that in the Chanami, which is Gemara never passing like Rav. But the way we have it, which is Taka the way we do halakha b'maisa, is we hold like that first mahalach in the Rishonim, Tosfos in the Bahag, that really b'chol ha'terakulam min b'minoi is batal. Just over here by chametz, because chametz is more chomer, so midrabbanan we hold by chametz min b'minoi is not batal. That's all bizmanoi, shaloi bizmanoi. But if it was chametz sha'aver lava pesach, and now it's after Pesach, and it got mixed in to other food, so then bein b'minoi ben shaloi b'minoi mutter. Then it's mutter whether it got mixed into minoi, or it got mixed into shaloi b'minoi. And like we mentioned yesterday in Rabbi Yochanan, not only if it mixed in a mashu, but even if it mixed in the amount of nois and tam, it's still going to be mutter. And the reason is, Kirab Shimon, like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that chametz sha'avar alav Pesach, after Pesach is mutter. Midaraisa, chametz is only also on Pesach itself, but after Pesach, Rabbi Shimon holds it's mutter. Frag the Gemara, how could you say that? Did Rava say so? Didn't Rava say Rav Shimon Knosa Konis? That at your right, that midaraisa it's mutter, but nonetheless midarabban Rav Shimon gives a knas the chametz shavu l'avah pesach, that it's also hayav avra l'avah by matzah. Because since this person was over by rabba by matzah by leaving the chametz around, we give him a knas that he can't have enough from the chametz even after Pesach. So the Gemara answer is hani min be'enei. Now that it's only a knas Rabbanon, you could say that the Rabbanon only gave the knas if the chametz is as is, not mixed into anything else. Once it's mixed in, even though it's nice and tam, nonetheless, loy, they were not geyser. Alcohol is over love of Pesach?
Yeah, I mean, they saw all the bourbons. I mean,
why is that not called teruvus?
Right.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know. Yeah. But as the Rav the Tame says, the one this Rav that he passes like Rav Shimon is l'shitasoi, that Rav holds like Rav Shimon. We see in another place that Rav holds like Rav Shimon. The Amar Rav, because Rav said ki avinu be Rav Nachman, when we learned by Rav Nachman. The Pesach, right after the 7 days of Pesach, right after the Yom Tov of Pesach was over, Amar Lan, Rav Nachman told us, Puku, you can go out Uzvinu Chamira to the Nechela, and you can go buy chametz from the Goyim. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, like we explained, in yesterday and the day before that chametz is also midaraisa after Pesach. So then it makes no difference if it's chametz of a yid or chametz of a goy. Even a goy's chametz is also. So the fact that you're allowed to buy chametz from a goy after Pesach must be midaraisa chametz shalav of Pesach is mutter. A yid's chametz is only also midarabanan because of a knas. Because it was there by a rabbi, by a matzah. Obviously, that doesn't pass by a guy because a guy has no problem by a rabbi, by a matzah. And therefore, right after Pesach is over, you're allowed to go and buy chametz from a guy. So, pas palter is mutter b'makim hatzerich, and one of the biggest places that the pesachim say there's a heter is right after Pesach because there's no other way to get chametz. I mean, even people. There was a minig that even people who were machbid on Pas Yisrael the whole year, but right after Pesach, until there was time to bake, they were mako on Pas Pal to Gufa because there was no other way to get bread. Amarav, kideiros bePesach yishavru. Rav says the pats on right, you have a chametz like a pat, and it comes before Pesach. So the pots in those days mostly were earthenware. Earthenware, like we'll see soon, can't be kashered. So the only thing you could do with the pot is break it. Why do you have to break it? Why can't you wait till after Pesach? You're right, on Pesach you can't cook with it. Because on Pesach, even if it's only going to be a mashu, it's not going to be bottle. Because Rav the Shitas holds chametz bismani ben mina ben shalem mina is not bottle, and even after Pesach to use it for mina it's vayter not going to help, because Rav held that even lachas mani, Rav said yesterday that even lachas mani ben mina is not going to be bottle, because Rav holds midaraisa ben mina is not bottle, and he passes like Rav Yudah the chametz lachas Pesach is aser. However, Rav himself said that after Pesach shaloi ben mina is yes bottle. So why do you have to break the pot? You could leave it for after Pesach, at least for Ein Amina. Says the Gemara, Gzeira, Duma Asila Mevavu Minai. You're right, but Etzem Ikar Adin, you should be allowed to use it after Pesach for Shalom Minai. But we're afraid if you're going to leave it for after Pesach and allow you to use a Shalom Minai, you're going to end up inevitably using it for Minai as well. So therefore, the only eight, according to Rav, is to break the pot. Shmuel Amar lo yishavru. Shmuel says you don't have to break the pot. Our mashiv lulachas money. Obviously, you can't use it on Pesach because Shmuel also held that bismanoi beimemina at least the minoi it's a problem. But you could wait till after Pesach because after Pesach Shmuel held that it's mutter beimemina beinshalay beminoi. So el mashiv lulachas zman. You could wait till after Pesach, and after Pesach, it's mutter to use it whether it's minoy or whether it's shalom minoy. And over there, it doesn't. There's no gzera to make because no matter how you use it after Pesach, it's going to be mutter. The as the Shmuel l'tamedis is Shmuel l'shitasai. The Amar Shmuel l'hanu the mezav nikandi. Shmuel told those people that used to sell pots. So a lot of people used to get rid of their pots before Pesach, and they used to buy pots again afterwards. So people took advantage of it, and they decided to hike up the price of the pots and make good money. So Shmuel told them, "Ash zini, sell it at a normal price, at a good price."
You were selling new pots.
The people were selling new pots because they were getting rid of their old pots. And merchants were taking advantage and charging extra for the pots. Mm-hmm. So Shmuel warned them, and he told them, Ash is vini, sell, make a fair price, akad dichi on your, for your pots, v'loy, and otherwise, darshin l'chuk Reb Shimon. I'm going to go out and announce to everybody, I'm going to darshin, that the lachas of Reb Shimon, that the pots after Yontif are mutter, and maybe you don't have to get rid of your old pots. And then no one's going to come buy your pots, and not only won't you make the extra money, you won't make any money at all.
How can he do that, though? I mean, if he feels the halacha is one way...
He holds like Reb Shimon.
Oh, he holds like Reb Shimon.
Right.
So he's going to make a
machlokes. Right, right. Yeah, so the Gemara asks the opposite way. If he holds like Rav Shimon, then why did he have to threaten them that if they don't drop their prices, then he'll dash like Rav Shimon? Why didn't he stop dashing like Rav Shimon?
Right.
Because anyway, Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon. Tetzis says the Gemara asked the Rav Hava. The city that he was in was a place that Rav was the Merida Asa of that place. So they held like Rav that the pots are also, and that's why they bought new pots. However, so Shmuel out covered of Rav, even though he himself held that they don't have to buy new pots, but out covered of Rav, he didn't tell him that the luck was like Rav Shimon. But if they're going to start taking advantage of that and start selling it for an unfair price, so then he's going to say, then I'm going to put my foot down and tell him that, by the way, I pass like Rav Shimon, and you don't have to get new pots. Hahu tanura. There was an oven, then tahu leitichya, that they smeared it with the grease of an animal. So now the oven becomes fleshik. And there's a halacha that you're not allowed to bake bread that's fleshig because you might come to eat it with milchig, and vice versa as well. You're not allowed to bake bread that's milchig because you might come to eat it with fleshig. So there was this oven that was smeared with grease from meat to lubricate it, and now all the bread that's going to be baked in it is going to be fleshig. So also Rava Bar Eloi. So Rava Bar Eloi said paskin that the bread that's in there is also lemechel rifta, to eat that bread. Even if you're not planning on eating it with anything dairy, you're planning on eating it par. You're planning on eating just dipping it in salt. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to eat the bread from there, because like there you might end up eating it with dairy with milk. Right, even with salt, meaning you're not allowed to eat it parv, even with salt, a gzeira, because you might come to eat it with mochi. Even if that was your plan. Right, so also Rabbi Bar Eloi, lemechel rifta afilu b'mochel lo'olam, you're not allowed to eat any bread from here forever, even with salt, even parv, a gzeira, because you might forget and end up eating it with mochi. Because you might end up dipping it into kutach, we had earlier in the paraku, which is a dairy dip. Meisve, so on that we ask the shaila. Ein lashon as isa b'chalov. You can't knead a dough together with milk. You can't put milk into your as part of your batter and knead it, and then because then the bread or the whatever you're going to bake from there is going to end up being milky. Vim lashon, if you taka do this, the bread is awesome in the hergal aver because of hergal aver. Again, even though you were planning on eating it parv, but you might end up forgetting and end up eating it with meat and forget that it was milchig. Kayaitzaboy, similarly, Ein Toshin is a Tana ba'alya, you can't grease an oven with the tail of an animal, which is obviously fleshig. Vim Tosh, and if you did so, kalapas kula asura, then the bread is asur, because now the bread is fleshig. Achi asik is a Tana until you burn out the oven. Once you burn out the oven, the grease of the alia is no longer there, and from now on, the bread that's going to be baked in the oven won't be fleshig anymore, and therefore it will be mutter. So it's mashma ha'husa katana. Once you heat up the oven, miyashori, it's mutter. So the problem is, Rava Bar Eloi said it's also to bake bread in there la'olam forever. It's mashma, even after you heat it up, it's still going to be also. In this brisa, we see clearly it's only also until you heat it up. Once you heat it up, it burns out the grease, and then from then on, you could bake bread in there.
Why would it be forever?
He held that you can't kosher an oven.
Because
Kli Cheres is there's no way to kosher.
So the blias,
are going to get in there, and they're never going to totally come out.
Even after it's pugnum, it's still going
to. Right.
We don't hold that. We hold
it low. We hold you can't kosher Kli Cheres.
So
we'll see what this bison means. Yeah, one second. So that's the kasha. The bison seems to say it's only also achiyasik. But once you heat it up, then you kasha the oven, and then there's no problem of having bread inside the oven. So tshufta the rabbi by lo tshufta. So the Gemara says enechadami. Vice versa, you could kasher an oven. So we'll see soon. We just said before you can't kasher pots. We'll see what the difference is. But at least in an oven, rabbi by lo is wrong. We see that you could kasher the oven, and therefore only calls man that you didn't burn it out. Is it a problem? But once you burned it out, it's okay. Amar Ravina to Rav Ashi. So, fact Ravina to Rav Ashi. V'chimi Arga the Tosef Rav Bar Eloi. Now that Rav Bar we asked the Kasha on Rav Bar Eloi, we shlugged him up. Amai Kam Rav Kederes V'Pesach Yishavru. So that means obviously we could Kasha Klicheres. If that's the case, so then why did Rav say that the pots have to be broken before Pesach? Which means to say that was his only Eitzah. There was no Eitzah to Kasha them. Why can you Kasha them? Mamash, right, they would put it on the walls all the time.
Right. Yeah. Bread doesn't have liquid also. Doesn't do any liquid
that's by Kalim. Kli goes without, does not go without liquid, but food to Kali is even without liquid.
If the food is touching
liquid. Yeah.
So when do you ever have food not touching the Kalim?
No, the nafkamin is over there. Is you had a treif pot, and then a kosher pot touches a treif pot. You have two pots in the oven, so there's no liquid
dry
in between. Dry food on a keli is a problem.
I thought you need, like, in an oven, we say that you need,
You're talking, because you're talking that it's not directly touching, but if it's direct. Yeah, because no, the food doesn't directly touch. Yeah, because it doesn't directly touch.
That's not fair.
Yeah. So, Amar Ravina the Ravashi. Ravina asked Ravashi, "Miachad itayzev Rav Bar Eloi." Now that we shlug up Rav Bar Eloi, and we see that you can kasher klicheres, amaykam a Rav. So, if that's the case, why does Rav say there is a Pesach Yishavru that you have to break the pots before Pesach? Why don't you just kasher them? Amalei. So he answered him, "Hasan Tana Shamateches." Even though, like we assumed until now, that the Tana was cheres because most ovens in those days were cheres, but that's not the case. The Tana that we're referring to over there was metal, and that's why it could be kashered. Hacha. Whereas over here, b'derech cheres, we're talking about pots which were made out of cheres, and they taka cannot be kashered. So that's teres number one. The Bais Zema, teres number two, hava b'shal cheres. Both are talking about cheres. The difference between an oven and a pot is that in an oven the fire is inside. When the fire is inside, it's much hotter and it pulls out the bleas much more efficiently, and then you can taka kasher it. Pot, which you're only heating up from the outside, not from the inside, so then it can't be kashered. So maybe you'll say, so fine, so you can't kasher a pot from heating it up from the outside, so make a fire inside the pot and kasher it that way. Still, why do you have to break the pots? So the Torah says, Chazal don't let you do that because we're afraid you're not going to do a good job. Because if you put too much heat inside, it's going to cause the klicheres to burst. It's not going to withstand the heat. So you're going to be chayesal, you're going to have pity, you're going to have rachmanis on the keli, and you're not going to do a proper job, so we don't trust you to heat it up from the inside hot enough, because you're not going to do, because you're going to be afraid to break the keli. Masha ink in an oven, you always heat it up from the inside. That's by definition, that's how you heat up an oven. So therefore, we're not afraid you're not going to kasher properly. It will kasher properly. And therefore, an oven made out of cheres, you could kasher. Mashenkin, a regular keli that's made out of cheres, you cannot kasher. Hilchach says the Gemara, because of this chiluk that we say, halacha l'maisu, that you could only kasher a kli cheres from the inside and not from the outside. So hi buchya. This buchya was a way that they used to cook. It was buchya most of the times means a pestle, but over here, it just means that they had like a flat tray, sort of like a gridiron, and they put the fire underneath and the food on top, and it would get very hot and cook the food. So if it was made out of cheres. So has taken me b'chutzu. So since the fire is on the opposite side of the food, so that's like the fire is from the outside. V'also, and therefore you can't kasher it because the klicheres that the fire is from the outside. But we pass on that you can't kasher it. However, v'maya gumrei, if the way to heat it up is not that the fire is underneath and the food is on top, but rather in this tray you put coals there, and therefore this essentially the fire is on the inside, so then shavadami, so then it could be kashered. Amale Ravina Ravashi. Hai sakini bepischa heichi ardinu. When it comes to knives and you want to kasher the knives for Pesach, what do you do to kasher the knives? So Amale, so he said, "L'diti chavetakav dinon." I make new ones. So the Gemara understood now that he meant literally that he gets new knives every year for Pesach. So Amale tenech mar, that's very good for you. The eshele, you could afford it, so you'll get rid of your old knives. You'll buy new knives. The lay eshele mai, but for the regular people who can't afford to buy new knives every year, so what should they do? Amale anok ein chadato kaminu. When I said I make a chadato, I didn't mean to say that I purchase new knives. What I meant to say is I make them as if they're new, which means to say I do leave them to them and I totally burn them out to make it as if they're new. What's the process? Kataya patina, I first cover over their handles with mud, and the reason for that is because if you're going to do leave it, you're going to put it into the fire until it gets hot. The handles are the blade of the knife will be fine, but the handle is going to break. So you cover it over the handle first with mud in order to protect the handle. Uparzalayu benura, and then I put the metal part, the blade, through fire, and this way I do libun and kasher the knife. V'hadar malan lekatay bereiskan, and after I'm finished doing libun to the blade, so then the handle which wasn't yet kashered, so I take off the mud of the that was protecting the handle, and I put the handle in boiling hot water, and I do hagalah to the handle. Says the Gemara, "V'hilchus la'idu v'idu b'roizgim." But halacha l'maisa, you don't have to be machmer like that to do libun to the knife. All you have to do is do hagala to the knife, which means to say that both the blade and the handle—it's enough to put into boiling hot water. U'b'klirishin, as long as the water is in a klirishin, that's how you can kasher it, because that's the way we pass on halacha l'maisa. Things that are kibbalah kachpolter, the way that they're balea, the way that the blees of Israel got in, that's the way you get them out. So most kalim that are not used in on the fire, rather they're just used in a kli rishon. So the way to kasher them is to put them into a kli rishon, put in boiling hot water, and the boiling hot water will take out their blees.
What was the handle made out of?
It's not clear what the handle is made out of. It's not metal. It's maybe it's wood. Maybe it's
wood. You can you have all the wood.
You can kasher wood. Yeah. But also over here the ikar blias are in the blade. You're kashering the handle to get out anything that gets stuck, right? Yeah, but I think that in those days anyway the blades were probably wood. I think the handles were wood.
You don't kasher wood, do you?
When do we use wood? I don't
know. When you kasher wood, put it in a peasant. It seems like wood is very absorbent.
Omer Ravuna Breder Rishua. This is for you, by the way. Omer Ravuna Breder Rishua, Ace Parer. So this is a wood that they used as a stirrer to stir a pot. So Magrila Bereiskim Uva Klirishin. So the way to do Agala is in boiling hot water in a Klirishin. Why? Because Kipoyla Kachbalta. Because that's the rules. The way it's boiled, that's the way it gives out. So it's used to stir a kli rishon. So the way to be pilot, obviously you can't put a wooden keli in a fire. You wouldn't have the wooden keli too long. But you could kasher it with agala because kibayla kachpalta. Since it's only used inside a kli rishon with liquid, so therefore that's the way to kasher it inside a kli rishon with liquid. Bomine. So we have the gears of me'amimar, some of the gears of me'amimar. Hani mani de kunya ma'u lishtemushibu bibisla. Of these kalim that are made out of kunya, Rashi says that kunya was cheres, there was some type of dirt that was plated over with lead. So what's its status as far as being pilot? Is it able to be kashered or is it not able to be kashered? So how do you mani dekunya? These mani dekunya, malvish tabusha bepitzko, can they be used on Pesach or not? So the Gemara says, it depends what type of dirt was used. Yeroika, the one that was made out of dirt that is like greenish, so that dirt is very absorbent and there's no way to kasher it. So loiti boyalach, that's not a shayla, devada yasiri. That will clearly be also, there's no way to kasher that. Kiti boyalach, when do you have a shayla? When it's uchmi v'chivri, when it's either black or white, the type of dirt that makes it come out either black or white, so the question is, can that be kashered or not? My. Says the Gemara, Hecha the Isbe Kartufni, if there are cracks, there's crevices within the keli, so then like Yibayloch, then it's again not a Shai Devadi Asiri, because there's no way to, any keli that has cracks, the things get stuck in there, and there's no way to totally get everything out. So Memela, again, there's no way to kasher it. Kiti Baylach, your only shayla is the when it's black or white and it's the shi and it's smooth. My, so is it? Could you kasher it? Could you not kasher it? Amalei, so he answered him. Chazinu ludim midaisi. I see that these kalim sweat, meaning they give out every once in a while when they sit. There's moisture there that's coming out from the walls of the kalim. So alma, if that's the case, you see bali. Obviously, the cheres of the keli, not only the metal plate that's on top of it, but the cheres of the keli itself absorbs. And if that's the case, asiri, then it's going to be also there's no way to kasher it. The hatera ida akli cheres, because the tera was made about akli cheres and yotzei midei tayf lidoilam. But from the fact that the tera says in the parsha of hechsher kelim, the tera says that kli cheres has to be broken. So the Torah is telling us there's no way to kasher a klicheres. There's no way to ever get the bleas properly out of a klicheres. So the question over here was, how deep was it? Is it beleya? Is it only beleya, the upper level, which was Avra, therefore it could be kasher, Avra is a metal? Or is the cheres also beleya, and then there's no way to kasher it? But since we see from here that the cheres is taka beleya, so in the mela it's going to come out that there's no way to kasher it, because the Torah says there's no way to kasher a klicheres. Right to Gemara. Umayshna
l'inyay nesech. Get back out. Meaning, if we say keli touching, keli is not
bale. Right. So a kli cheres has the worst of both worlds. It will never totally come out, but some comes out. It's not if it only goes in and it's not bale at all, so then it shouldn't make anything also. No, so we're talking no. Oh, through the metal.
Yeah. I understand it goes into the metal.
So, it's attached to just touching the metal. No. So, because it's attached together, it's considered like one K. It's not called Kli L'Kli. It's called one entity. So, Frank Gemara, Umayshna L'Ninyay Nesach, why is this any different? These Mani Dekunya, that over here we're saying, like, with regard to Chametz and Pesach, you can't kasher it. Why is that any different than Legabi Yayin Nesach, the Darash Maremar, the Maremar Darshind, Mani Dekunya, if you have these Mani Dekunya, Bein Uchma, Bein Chivri, Bein Yeruki, whether they're the type that is black, that is dark dirt, whether it's the white ones, the light colored dirt, or whether it's the Yeruki, or whether it's the green ones, which is the ones that we said are the most absorbent, no matter what, Shari. It's mutter. V'chitema, maybe you'll tell me, you know why we're mekel over there? Because Yayin Nesach the Rabbanon. Because maybe Yayin Nesach is the Rabbanon, that's why we're mekel, whereas Chometz is the Raisa. No, we're not going to be mechalic like that. Because V'chokal do talking about Rabbanon, okay, the Raisa talking. The rule is, whenever the Rabbanon are misaking something, they're misaking Kay and the Raisa. So if Bli'ez the Raisa cannot be extricated from a klicheres, so who had in the bleis the rabbanon, at least mina rabbanon, you can't kasher it and should be aser. So amalei. So he answered him, "Zeh tashmish yadei chamim, zeh tashmish yadei tzaynein." The difference is like this: by a klicheres that you're using for chametz, what are you doing? You're cooking in there. If you're cooking in there, so the heat makes it be boileya. Once it's boileya, there's no way to kasher it. Yai nesach. You don't cook wine, it just sits in the keli. So it's tashmishi ayirei tzainin. So when it's being used for cold and not for hot, so then it's not baleya. Since it's not baleya, so that's why you're able to use the afterwards, after you clean out the yain nesed from there, you're allowed to use it for motor dika wine. Omar Rava Baraba, Omar Chia Barashi, Omar Shmuel. Kol HaKelim Shenishtamshu B'mechamin B'behem B'chametz B'tzoynin. Any Kelim that were used for chametz only for cold. So like we said before, a cold is not B'leya. Therefore, Mishtamshu B'matzah, you could use them for matzah. Chutz, with the exception in Beis Sa'ar, the storage bin, the storage container where you store the Sa'ar, the sourdough, the yeast. And the reason is Hayoshechi Mutzei Kasha. Since it's the yeast is there, it's potent, it's sharp, so therefore it could be balei even though it's tzainin. But normal foods, when it's tzainin, it's not balei. So a normal chametz is kept inside a container, inside a keli, that keli will be mutter. So all that's kept in there, even though it's tzainin, if it sits there, it's going to end up being balei, and therefore over there, it's going to be a problem. Amravashi. Rabashi says, Beis Charoses ke Beis Sa'ar. A Beis Charoses has the same status as a Beis Sa'ar. Now, Charoses doesn't mean the Charoses that we use on Pesach necessarily. It means any dip that had, like, vinegar or something else in it that makes it sharp. So those type of dips, it's the same idea. Because it has that potent ingredient in there that makes it sharp, and it makes it easy to be balea, so it would have the same status of a Beis Sa'ar, Shechimut Zekosha, and therefore it could be balea, even though it's tzainin, and therefore, as far as Pesach is concerned, it would be also to use it for matzah, even though it's only used for tzainin. Amar Rava, Hani Agni de Mechuza. The Kelim, the bowls that they used in Mechuza, Hoyo v'tidiri lemelesh buchamira, since they consistently use it to knead chametz, umashu buchamira, and they leave their chametz sitting in there, so kebeis sa'ar, so then it has the same halacha like a beis sa'ar, shechimusei kasha, dummy. It's like any other beis sa'ar, which we say, chemusei kasha, that even though it's only used for cold, nonetheless it's b'leia, and therefore it's aser. Says the Gemara Pshito. Obviously, I mean, if you constantly leave dough there to ferment and become chametz to rise, so then that's what we just said. Chimutzi kasha. So what's the chiddush? Why do you have to say that these kneading bowls of mechuzah are also because they're chimutzi kasha? Obviously, says the Gemara. Mao de tema. I might have said kiven de revicha, since they're very wide, these bowls. So shalat be'avira, so they get aired out very well. It's very, they're very airy, and therefore loibali. So maybe that helps it not be balea. It's not like it's sitting there confined into a small area that it's concentrated and it's going to be balea. So maybe over there it should taka be mutter since it's sinein. Kamash alone, that doesn't help. Even though it's a large, wide bowl, the fact that there's a lot of air there is not going to stop it from this Svarav Chimutzei Kasha, and it's still going to be Balei, and therefore it's going to be also to be used on Pesach. Says the Mishnah, Nachri Shehovas Yisrael Al Chemtzai. A Nachri, a guy, loaned a Jew money, and he took as collateral Chametz from the Jew. It happened to be, let's say he loaned the money, somewhere in the middle of the winter, and it happened to be that the loan went over Pesach, and the guy is holding the chametz of the Jew. So the question is, we know that if a Jew owns chametz, it's aser. If a guy owns chametz, it's mutter. So who's considered now the owner of the chametz as far as Ba'i Ra'a Ba'i Matz is concerned? And therefore, will it be chametz that's aser banar, or will it be chametz that's mutter banar? So the Mishnah says, if a guy loans a Jew chametz and takes the Jew's chametz as collateral, so after Pesach, mutter banar, it's considered the guy's chametz, and therefore it's going to be mutter banar. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly why this is. What conditions do you need that it should be the guy's chametz? The maskana, the Gemara is going to say that it's talking about that not only did you give it to him, did you give him the rights to collect from there, but you actually handed it over to him, and he's holding it in his rishos. Once that's the case, it's already considered it's in the guy's rishos. It's not in the yid's rishos, and therefore it's not chametz she'avra alav pesach. The opposite, Yisrael shehilva is not real chemtzai. If a Jew loaned the guy money and he took the guy's chametz as a mashkin, so now the opposite. So now the guy's chametz, which would have otherwise been mutter, is now in the rishos of Yisrael. So now it's as if the Jew has chametz, and it's avra lava pesach. So therefore, achra pesach asabano. So if it goes through pesach, then now it's a Jew's chametz that was avra lava pesach, and now it will be aser be'ano.
He's either by Yeran, this case?
That's, yeah, because it's like it's in his rishos.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm saying one of these is exera, and one is the oraisa.
It's not necessary, but I think we'll see in the Gemara. It might be considered that it's literally his. Right, and this is, by the way.
Even if the guy gets it back,
oh, so we're going to get to that. We're going to get to all of that in the Gemara. Okay, but this is by the way. Beside, we already had that if you have comments of a guy that you have a chrayis on, it's already a problem. Right, so this that it's a mashkin is besides the fact that it's a chrayis. If you would have a chrayis on it anyway, it would be a problem. This is even if you don't have a chrayis on it, from the fact that you have it by you to collect, it's already going to be an issue, like we'll see. So the Gemara starts off, and the Gemara says, Itmar. Bal chayv, abay amr lemafreyo goyve, v'rova amr mekalabo goyve. When a bal chayv ends up, when the loyve ends up defaulting on the loan, and therefore the Baal Chayv ends up collecting from the Mashkin as opposed to collecting cash. So Abayi says that Gevia works retroactively. Since he eventually collected this thing, it's Ki'ilu, he collected it the whole time, as if when I gave you the money originally, I basically bought that item from you. And retroactively, from day one, this was mine. Rava Omar, Rava says, no, we don't look at it that way, it doesn't work retroactively. It's only collected from now on, which means to say that until the day of the collection, it taka belonged to the loive, and only from the time I collected it on. Now that I collected it, it's going to obviously be mine. But until then, it was the loive's. Now we're going to see in the Gemara exactly what the nafkaminas are, because there are certain cases that both Abayi and Rava will agree. But we'll see what they're arguing about. So just to start off, because the Gemara is going to go all the way into the next Amud, but just to start off, the Gemara says, "Kol heicha de aktish loive." If the loive was maktish, this thing that was meshubah to the malve, or zavin loive, or he either was maktish at the hektish, or he sold it to somebody else. Kuli amalei pligi dasi malve v'tarav. Everybody agrees that the malve can now go and take it away from the lekeach or from hektish. Where the Malva can come and redeem it from Ekdesh. And the reason is very simple. I mean, if you hold Lemafreyu Goyve, so obviously, retroactively, it was mine, that means it wasn't his to sell, or it wasn't his to be Makdesh. But even Rava, who says that no, it's not retroactively mine, it's only mine from the time of the collection, that means it's the Loyves at the time of the sale, or at the time of the Ekdesh, so why isn't the sale a valid sale, or why isn't the Ekdesh a valid Ekdesh? The Teretz is simple. Before the Gemara is going to bring a riot, how do we know this din is true? But the Teretz is simple, because I have a lien on it. So even if it's not mine retroactively, a lien works. A lien says that you're not allowed to sell it because it's Meshubah to me. And therefore, if you did sell it, or you were Ma'afish, I have a right to take it away from Ekdesh, or I have a right to take it away from Lekech. So even though Abayi and Rava argue it belongs to until the time of the collection, if it's the Malvis or the Loivis, the Nafkamin is not going to be if the Loivis can be Makdash or the Loivis is going to be able to sell it, because that's not true. The Loivis can't be Makdash, the Loivis can't be sell it regardless. The Nafkamin is going to be like we're going to see in Tamal's Daf, the opposite way. If the Malvis sold it, or the Malvis was Makdash, if it works. Because if it's the Malvis retroactively, so then the Malvis was able to sell it.
We're making it seem like we assume the guy's not
going to
pay back.
Right, obviously, this is all negay if he only eventually defaults. If he pays cash, all bets are off.
So why is that the
default
assumption that he's not
going to pay? We're talking about Lemafreya Goyva means if he's Goyva, in the event that he's Goyva, does it work Lemafreya or does it work Mekalalaba? Right, and so the nafka means going to be the maskana the opposite way, not if the loiva sold it or the loiva was makdashit, but rather if the malva was makdashit. So if it works retroactively, it's a good hekdash and it's a good sale. If it doesn't work retroactively, like Rava, so then it's not a good hekdash and it's not a good sale.
The malva has to pay taxes on the life of the world.